Good to have you here. Good to see you, Rosemary. I'm very happy to see you and families, friends. We have a special day today. Let me break the news to you. Mother's Day is next week. We all are aware of that. But today, as a church here in Aiken, we want to do something to honor moms and ladies. So we prepare a meal, and we will be serving you today. We will allow you to pass through the desk, and you will choose whatever you want. So for today, ladies, the kitchen is mine. Do you know what I mean, right? Don't ask me, can I help you? No, thank you, please. Because, you know, I had to tell you, no, go sit in there, you know, enjoy your meal. Now, we have two choices. This is not like Burger King that, you know, you have it your own way. You know, this is different today. I had to tell you this. This is two choices. One, you like it, you know, and two, you don't like it. You know, so, you like it? No, thank you. The salad is good. Whatever you prefer, you will let us know. But we hope to enjoy and have a fellowship. Please stay after worship. So we want to have an opportunity to know more about you. I have another announcement that I want to mention to you. One of the things that we want to do here in Aiken is to continue praying for God to help us perfect our vision and our mission. Let me ask you something. Why do you think that we have so many empty chairs in here? And don't give me the obvious reason, right? There's no people filling in them. Pastor, come on, you know, this requires a lot of brain. No. But go ahead, Anne. Well, it depends on how you look at the situation, right? You can see this in many ways. But when we were building this church, the members of the church, we used to have a 90-member church before. And now we have a church with capacity for 200 people. Why is that? Very good. That's a reflection of our mission and our vision for this church. We don't want to remain small. We want to grow. We want to reach more people for the kingdom. And you will probably think, Pastor, you are a little too optimistic. You need to settle down. But I want you to remember in prayer that God called us to this place for a reason, right? To do our service and to witness and to help other people. And by the grace and the power of God, people will come. Amen? So next Sunday, I would like to challenge you. We are having a time for having prayer. We will be meeting here at 5:30 in the morning next Sunday. And you hear me correctly. At what time? 5:30 in the morning. And it's a voluntary thing. It will be only for praying, singing, and some testimonies. It's not a fancy program. It's something very simple. You know, waking up, coming here, we will pray, sing a few songs, tell some testimonies, and then go home and, you know, go on with your daily business. But we are excited. We hope that you can make some time and come and join us for prayer. And because we want to continue praying and asking God to empower us, to give us optimism, to give us the energy and the strength to accomplish our mission. Amen? So remember, next Sunday, we will have a small time here for prayer. So everybody is invited. Today, I want to talk to you for a brief moment about some woman in the Bible. And I don't know how is your vision of women in a church or in ministry, but the Bible mentioned that some people, especially ladies, were serving Jesus. And we want to talk about that. We want to learn from their generosity and what it means to be generous in the serve and the cause for God. Amen? So please open your Bibles with me. And you know, before we open the Bibles, I'm going ahead of myself. We always pray, right? So allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, in humility, we are asking you today, O Lord, that speak to us, to show us your message, your inspiration, your guidance for what we need to do here in Aiken. We are asking you this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please open your Bibles in the text that Sister Gabriela was reading. It's found in Matthew 27. One of the Gospels, and I want to read with you the text again here in Matthew 27, starting in verse 55. Matthew 27, 55, and this is what the Bible says. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee
ministering to him were looking off from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee's sons. Now, when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting in the opposite to the tomb. So the test is a very simple test, but the introduction here is that in Jesus' time, a group of ladies were following Jesus. Now, if you knew some of the history and the cultural difference that we have from different countries, you will discover that in some societies, it's highly inappropriate for a woman to be in the presence of a stranger man, right? The proper thing to do, especially in the Middle East today, if you are a lady, a single lady or married woman, that a male from your house is always with you. You don't have to be older, it can be a younger child, but it's always had to be a male. And you will think, well, that's a very, old idea, why they had to think about that. And the reason is because in societies like that, women are protected. They feel that the men had to be protecting them all the time. You know, and of course, things are different here in America. You know, especially when the changes in society and the things, the way that they are going on today, we find more and more women asking for equal rights and the equal opportunities to do things that they want to do. So this is not an exercise in sociology, but I want you to keep that in mind because that presents a challenge for helping Jesus at a time. So open your Bibles also in the book of Luke, chapter 8, because it's another part of the story there. Luke 8, tell us the rest of the story. Now it came to pass afterward, verse number 1, that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad things of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Johanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provide for him from their sustenance. So the Bible is telling you that a lot of women were helping Jesus, basically in two ways, right? One, serving him in the daily needs of food and helping him maybe with his clothes. And also they were helping him with resources. Now, how much money these ladies have in a society where it was very challenging for a woman to get out of their house and start working? Right? Think about that. How much money they can contribute to the cause. And so one of the points that I want to present to you is that people always equal giving generosity when what? When we talk about generosity or giving at the church, people think the first thing that they think is what? It's money, right? God need my money. And I want you to remember that being generous had nothing to do with giving money. Being generous is an expression of your love for God, for the Savior, right? It's your awareness that God is the owner of everything and that he has given you some blessings and that you want to share with others. And that made you generous. It's nothing to do with the amount of resources that you are giving away. It's with the happiness in your heart that you are giving these things away, right? So you have these ladies walking with Jesus through all Galilee. And at that time, if you were traveling from one city to another, how you accomplish that? Well, the oldest way ever, right? You walk, right? Walking daily, and they probably did this walking during daytime because at nighttime nobody walks, although it was cooler. Thief and many other dangers, they
kind of like make a hindrance in there to walk around at nighttime. So they used to walk at daytime, and think about that for a moment. How easy was for a lady, for a woman, to start walking through the wilderness following this preacher? How you think about that? When you do a trip, right, today, in your car, and you are having a good time, and then you need to go to the restroom, what you normally do? Well, you stop and go to a rest area, right? Or a restaurant or whatever other place that you know that they have public restrooms and use the restroom facilities, and then you continue on your trip. But what about the places that they don't have restaurants? What you do? You will hold it, right? It's only 20 more miles. Just keep it there. Challenging situations, different cultures. In Colombia, in South America, for instance, it's very common that you are traveling in buses through the jungle or through the mountains, and out of the blue, the driver thinks, oh, we need to stop for going to the bathroom. There's no reason why. Whatever he thinks is the place. So you have a group of people getting out of the bus, gentlemen going to one side of the mountain, and the ladies go to the other side of the mountain, and they do their physical necessities right there. So I want to think about that when Jesus was walking with these ladies and these disciples, they confronted some challenges. It was uncomfortable. It was hot, dusty, because you are walking in the middle of the desert. It's not a lot of water. It's not a lot of food. So why you will do that? If you are a married woman today, 2017, and you tell your husband, listen, I'm going in this mission trip for a couple of months. Please take care of the house and the kids. See ya. So what your husband will say, what do you think?
Come on.
Where are you going? You know, hold on. We are married. You know, you have a family here. You need to help us. This isn't like you can go and disappear and leave everything behind. And so the level of sacrifice and commitment that these women were giving to the Lord is very intense. And we don't think in all these details. But at the time, a woman was considered a subcategory. It was not equal to a man, right? Even in Israel, where they were supposedly more kind to women as a gender, they treat women in a different way. If you were a woman, then you enter the church, one section for the gentleman, the closest to the front, and in second place for you and your kids. And in the last place, you know, visitors and foreigners like me, right? And so in Jesus' time, ladies were mistreated. And you know, one of the daily prayers of the Jewish man was, thank you, God, because I'm a man and not a woman, right? And because I'm not a Gentile, like one of these dogs over there, right? And so they were grateful and they were very proud that they were no woman. So that's an indication how they feel about women at the time. So it was true that some women supported the rabbis at the time, but it wasn't here of women walking with the rabbi through these villages and doing this kind of, that was something new right there. Now, I was asking you why. What is the answer to that? Why somebody will leave their family, their friends, their comfort, and start walking around with this preacher? Well, there's several reasons for that. The Bible tells us that some of them have infirmities, right? Disease. They were sick. And somehow Jesus healed them, right? And as payment, as payback, although Jesus wasn't asking for a payback, they feel obligated to serve him, right? So how is that called today when you are doing that? When you are giving back without nobody asking, how we call that today? It's reciprocating, but it's also called gratitude, right? Let's talk about gratitude for a moment here. Have you noticed that us, as a Christians, in occasions, we don't have a lot of gratitude in our hearts? And let me give you a case in point about this. When people don't have gratitude in their hearts, they have the tendency to whine. What I say? When people don't have gratitude in their hearts, they tend to whine. to complain. Right? Have you been in the presence of someone like that? How comfortable is that? You are with somebody that is all day, meh, 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 meh. Poor me, meh, 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 meh. You know, they are like maybe adults, but they are behaving like little kids, right? Meh, 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 meh. The pastor didn't do it, meh, meh. The sister didn't say hello to me. The school didn't help me. The church, blah, blah. My neighbor, my mom, my dad. They are always whining. Why is that? Well, let me give you a suggestion. I feel that when people behave that way, it's because they don't have gratitude in their hearts. Because if you had gratitude, you don't have time to be hateful. You are so much full of gratitude that you don't think about anything else. You know, one of the main questions that people ask when they enter into ministry is why you are doing this. Right? And I remember a very wise teacher saying to us, if you can avoid enter into ministry, don't enter. Do whatever other things that you want to do in life. Because ministry brings some challenges. Among them, helping people that maybe will never say thank you to you. Helping people that maybe they will backstab you, right? Helping people that maybe will hate you. And case in point, Jesus. Look how he ended at the end of his ministry. What kind of payment he get for all the people that he healed. So you have this group of women that they were so full of gratitude that they were willing to sacrifice everything to follow what? To follow Jesus. Even sacrifice their own families, their kids, their few resources. Now, the Bible mentioned also that some of them were kind of like demon-possessed, right? They were having like some serious mental issues in there, right? Mary Magdalene is among one of them. You remember the story of Mary Magdalene, right? Why she's remembered today in the Bible? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when we speak about Mary Magdalene? That she was a very honorable woman? She had a very bad reputation because her previous profession was what? A prostitute. And now this prostitute is walking with this group of men alone doing who knows what. Can you imagine the people at the time speaking about her? Believers and non-believers. Because we do that, right? Our minds in occasions go beyond that the normal things that we should do. So imagine this poor lady trying to be faithful to her master, helping him, and on top of that, getting criticism and getting attacked, her reputation being destroyed. But you know, when you are somebody, probably like Sister Mary, that was so much broken and mistreated and probably encountered so much hate during her life, one more problem probably didn't matter, right? Because in her heart was gratitude. She was giving everything to God, to Jesus. The Bible tells us the story about a woman that previous to Jesus' crucifixion took a very expensive perfume and poured it in top of Jesus. Do you remember the story? And scholars have debated this, and some say, no, that wasn't Mary Magdalene. But the majority say, yes, it was Mary Magdalene, the one who did this. The Bible doesn't mention her by name, but the indication is that she is the one who did it. So you are giving everything for the cause. Probably her savings. Everything for Jesus. So they are not only giving, making a big sacrifice, they are being generous, they are confronting criticism because they are following Jesus. But now, they are here at the cross, seeing her beloved master being crucified. Where are the guys? What the Bible tells us about the disciples? Who were the disciples when Jesus was being killed? Who were the men of the group? The ones who were there to defend? They are the fastest who run. Yeah, they were running so fast that nobody sees it anymore. Like, disappear out of the blue. And so you have this group of ladies who are risking only social disadvantages poverty and many other problems, but they are even risking their own lives right there at the cross. For love and for these men that is dying right there. And not all of them, when you read the Gospels, you discover that not all of them understood the resurrection factor, right? They thought the whole ministry was ending right there at the cross. You remember it's Jesus' mom also at the cross, because the Gospel of John tells us that Jesus asked John to take care of his mother, right? And that would make sense. You know, your mother will follow you. And I always think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, with great respect. One of the things that I want you to think about for a moment is this. The first miracle that Jesus did was converting the water and wine at the wedding. Remember that? When you are reading carefully the Bible there about the wedding, you discover that Mary is the one who pretty much tells the people, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, how you wonder about that? How you think about that? Why mom is telling these guys to follow her son? Why is she doing that? How she knew that he had power to make miracles? Maybe because she had knew him since he was a little baby, right? Growing up and seeing his character and seeing his behavior at home, and maybe other things that the Bible doesn't mention to us. That she's confident that he can solve the problem, right? Because I assure you, if I am in the same situation and my mom call and say, oh, please take care of the problem, I would be laughing in there like, what you can do? Is there more wine? The only thing that you probably will do is go into the middle of the party and say, gentlemen, ladies, thank you for coming. Go home. You know, the party is finished. There's no more wine, right? And so I always wonder about that, how Mary is telling these people that listen to Jesus, to do whatever he tells you to do, because he knows how to solve the problem. So it's more than the mom being proud of her son. It's that she knew that he was different, right? She knew that he was special. And now mother is seeing his son, you know, getting killed in front of all these people, naked, mistreated, and abused, and everybody making ridicule of him, and nobody is respecting him and giving him the honor that he deserves. That's a very painful thing to go for a mother, right? After all these years of service, that's what he gets. So in my mind, reading this text, I discovered that these ladies were very brave. They were willing to risk everything to give a testimony about this man that was dying at the cross. Now, along the way, Matthew tells us that a rich guy show up, right? What is the name of this rich guy? Joseph, right? Joseph, according to the Gospel of John 3, having a conversation with Jesus, and he was kind of like one of these persons who liked Jesus, but he was kind of like a little afraid of associating with him because the risk of losing his reputation and his standing in society. You know, being a friend of Jesus at the time was a big liability. It can bring serious consequences for your business and for your family and for many things. You know, if people reject you because they think that you are a crazy person, that will bring a lot of problems to you. Now, Joseph, at that moment when he's dead, he finally decides to take a stand. And you will say, well, now it's too late. No, it's not late, because for God, it's always opportunities, right? And so Joseph get involved, and he go and talk to this official, Pilate, and ask for the body of Jesus. And you remember, he's the one who provide the new tomb. So he's bringing now his resources to help the cause, right? We can think about this brother as somebody that is willing to help, right? But when you continue reading in Matthew 27, you discover one more detail that I think is interesting to me. That after the body of the Lord is placed in the tomb, two ladies are sitting there, right? Why they are doing that? Why? And when you continue reading, you discover that they were planning to return the next day, very early, to do something that it was custom to do to somebody that you love.
that it was to wrap the body in the proper linen and proper clothes and put some perfumes. Although the body will decay and stink after a few days, but they want to do it to Jesus because they were full of gratitude and love for him. So they are waiting until the last minute. They are not like everybody else that go home. They stay there. You know, the multitude already was gone. You know, everybody was gone. So what is left is the people who really care for him, right? So that's, to me, a very serious example of what a woman that is empowered and that feel love for Jesus can do for his cause. Amen? And it's something that we as men should think about it and probably emulate, right? Because let's be honest. We as guys, we think that we are the strongest one, right? Until we get sick. Oh, man. 2 weeks ago, I get in contact with somebody who was sick. And I tell my wife, I think I'm getting sick. And, you know, my her speech is, please cut it off. You know, like, because she knows that I tend to exaggerate a little bit when I get sick. I said, no, Denise, seriously, I'm getting sick. He said, please cap the drama. Because we exaggerate our pain. You know, we are the stronger gender, right? We don't know pain, man. Guys, seriously, we don't know pain. If you had the experience of being with your wife when she's delivering your kids, then you will realize how painful is pain. I was there. Holding her hand in silent, you know, because I was responsible for that situation. And encouraging with my silence in there. And I saw my wife go through all that ordeal of delivering the kids. It's a lot of suffering and pain. And so, ladies, the Lord have a great plan for you. You know, one of the things that I admire Jesus is that he didn't put women aside. You know, he embraces them. He allows them to serve, to have an opportunity in his kingdom. He has an opportunity for all of us. The problem is that in occasions we are very timid, right? We are a little afraid of taking the first step. But remember, if you had love, if you had generosity in your heart for the things that the Lord has done for you, what is your response? What other thing that we can do than serving him, right? Although we confronted challenges, although we can confront difficulties, although we can confront critics, we continue because we know that he loves us and he did everything for us. So no matter what I do, I will never be able to pay him back. So please reflect in that. Think about that. Have some gratitude in your heart. Think about, I always think about in Mother's Day about my mother. And by no means my mom wasn't perfect. You know, she was a human being. But in my mind, she was perfect. Right? I remember the many sacrifices that she did. I tell you before that my mother never go to stores to buy clothes. Because we were, she was single. Dad moved away from home and lived for kids. You know, the goodbye, and I don't disappear out of the map, and then mom continued helping us. And it was very challenging for her. Trying to clean the house, we didn't have dishwasher, did nothing to clean clothes. Everything was doing by hand. And then working and providing a meal for us. Many, many years of sacrifice and challenge. I remember my mother's hands. She had this arthritis that kind of like damaged your articulations, you know, that the fingers get disfigured. And she continued working and working, waking up every day. My mother was technically and legally blind. I remember waking many occasions at 4 o'clock in the morning to help her to find the contact lenses that they fell on the floor. You remember when the contact lenses were made from glass? That's what we used to do, help her, you know, because she wasn't able to see very well. So I always think about all these things that she did for us, and I have a deep gratitude for her for the things that she did. So today, in this small action that we are doing for you, please allow us to say thank you. Thank you for being such a great members of this church and community, and for bringing so much happiness to us. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, we are really grateful for the ladies of our church. Lord, they continue working for you in silence. And in many occasions, we don't even say thank you. We don't acknowledge what they do for us. But Father, you who notice every single act, please reward them according to your generosity. Remember them. And Lord, today we are asking you that their love and devotion and service can be an inspiration for all of us, that we all can continue working for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.